You guys, have you heard about Squarespace? You must have, because I talk about it all the time. Their website has helped me with my businesses, but it will also help you grow your business. And it really does take the guesswork out of building a website. They have so many helpful and amazing tools, product features, and they make it so user-friendly. Now, one of our favorite product features is the Fluid Engine. With Fluid Engine, a next-generation website design system from Squarespace, it's never been easier for anyone to unlock unbreakable creativity. Start with a best-in-class website template and then customize every design detail with reimagined drag-and-drop technology for desktop or mobile. Stretch your imagination online with Fluid Engine, built in and ready to go on any new Squarespace site. Go to squarespace.com/drama for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use offer code DRAMA to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. With the best all-inclusive vacation deals to Mexico and the Caribbean, booking your getaway with Cheap Caribbean Vacations means you have more freedom to do your deal. Whether you want to enjoy snorkeling, endless margaritas, and more, or simply just want to soak up the sun and sand in a tropical paradise, Cheap Caribbean Vacations has your deal for that. Plan and book the exact getaway you want at exactly the right price for you by using our exclusive budget beach finder. Or find a featured all-inclusive package to Sunscape Resorts and Spas and do your deal at cheapcaribbean.com.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200K for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does all the work for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. Visit Picasso to see thousands of listings. That's PACASO.com.
I don't know about y'all. I love the holidays, and they also stress me out. Yesterday, I was trying to get everybody's gifts wrapped, and I just needed a second. I was on my fourth paper cut, and I was like, okay, take a walk around the house, calm yourself down. And you know what I did? I went and got myself a cookie, and I felt better. So all I'm saying is if you're tired or besieged by paper cuts, I think you deserve a cookie, too.
I agree. Guys, Keebler Sandies are buttery. They're shortbread cookies made with delicious ingredients like cranberries, pecans, and almonds.
And each Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie is baked to perfection by those cute little Keebler elves for a light sweetness and a texture that melts in your mouth.
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies. It's the perfect treat that'll keep you going.
Next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for a Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
In Puerto Rico, if you can hear the music, you're invited to the party.
Sometimes it's salsa, sometimes it's plena, sometimes it's reggaeton. No matter what rhythm is calling to you, when you hear it, it is always time to dance.
In Puerto Rico, you can't step outside without hearing music because music is life there.
No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents.
Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
First of all, you don't know me.
We're all about that high school drama girl, all about them high school queens. We'll take you for a ride in our comic girl,
drama girl,
cheering for the right team.
Drama queens, drama queens,
smart girl, rough girl, fashion, but you're tough girl. You could sit with us, girl.
Drama queens, drama queens, drama queens. Drama, drama queens, drama queens.
You guys, this is a conversation that Sophia and I personally have been looking forward to for years. We've got Joy on the spot
now,
confessing her former feelings for our very handsome guest, Craig Sheffer. Oh, Craig.
Hey, Craig, Joy has a question for you, and we're all
do it,
dying
Joy.
To know the
do
answer.
Do it, Joy. Do
ask
it.
Ask him, ask him, ask
do
him.
It.
Craig, do you remember you and me sitting at Deluxe with Paul when Paul... you know, I had a massive crush on you for the first like four or five years of
oh,
the
yes.
show. And you, did you know you had to have known this?
I heard something, but I was like,
"Oh, you sweet!" Did you know at the time?
Actually, Joy, I didn't know how to handle it. You actually left me a letter on my doorstep.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
No, wait, and wait. Yes, no, I didn't. What?
You left me a letter on my doorstep at the beach.
What?
Asking me, like, let's go to a lovely afternoon on the beach and stuff like that. And
I'm so embarrassed.
And I was like,
no, you're not.
I didn't know what to do.
You're like, you're like, a child.
I was paralyzed, but I was like, she's just a baby. I don't know what to do.
Oh, my God.
Craig, you're a good guy. Oh, my God.
Pretended you never left it.
Thanks, because I forgot.
Terrible. Right?
I must have blocked it out.
You're
I
such a good guy, because any other dude so would have been like, ooh, a 21-year-old. Okay. Give me some. Oh, see, you're such a good
what
dude.
What a great guy. Well, that was the thing. We were sitting at dinner with Paul, and Paul goes, hey, Craig, you know, Joy's been in love with you for like 4 years.
Oh,
and
God.
I'm just, it was like, you know, I mean, I was a kid, so I hadn't been, you know, I hadn't had anybody just do that to me. It felt like high school. Somebody just outed you with your secrets.
Oh, my
God. And you
God.
Were so,
it's so strange,
sweet.
Too, because Paul's usually so subtle, you know?
Oh, God.
I'm sweating for you guys right now. I'm so sweaty. I'm like, oh,
I'm,
no.
I'm sweaty.
Literally,
I didn't
my eyes
put
are leaking. I'm not sweating. I'm sweating out of my eyeballs right now. I don't know what's happening.
Oh, my God. Well, you handled it all with such grace, and it's just all the more testament to what an awesome guy you are. We just
well, we always,
so much,
we had a great connection talking about poetry and writing and all that stuff, because you were like,
oh, yeah.
You were all into that. So I think that's aww. Really what it was about. We sort of sit and always talk about you were writing and I was writing. And
well, you're such an attractive personality. You're so interested in other people. You're so interested mm-hmm. in learning, and you're a curious person. And you know, you really, I think that's what makes you such a great actor too. And you brought all, that's why we fell in love with Keith as well. We loved this guy who is so compassionate and so interested. You know, Keith was mm-hmm. a great listener, and he was everybody's best friend, you know?
And you brought that sense of yourself. It's so interesting for us to watch the show now and look back. Hillary, you said it. Craig's a romantic. Like,
yes.
You make things, you create, you write poetry, you lean into, you know, the essence under the words. And none of us, you know, we were all 21-year-old ding-dongs. And like, we were in the era of Tiger Beat when all the boys were idiots. And here you were, like, talking about poems, and you were like velvet in a person, and we were so just enamored by you. And it's fun to see the way we all kind of looked at you, like, wow, he's mm-hmm. he's a grown up. We see him, and we see all that in Keith, and it's, oh, I mean, we just love him. We love to watch you. This episode was so gorgeous mm-hmm. for that romance that you put in him.
With my Zoom, I am so like old man with technology. I was trying to find the show last night. I can't find it. But,
what do you remember from it though? Like, how? Mm-hmm. What do you remember from originally getting the script of the pilot and coming aboard this ship?
The original?
Yeah, Ravens.
Oh! I just really. I really liked the character. You know, mm-hmm. I like the mentor aspect of him and the relationship with the brother and the whole, I don't know what Shakespearean feel to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was really looking forward to it because I'd never done television to that point. Before that, it was just movies, and things started to slow down. And at that time was when I was doing a lot of direct to, what do you call it? Direct to video stuff was happening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this was an opportunity to do something that was, you know, going to get seen more, because for about 4 years before that, things were getting a little slow.
And then, well, also that's when reality TV really took over, like 50% of programming.
That's very true,
that's
yeah.
right, Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it was a new adventure, and it was really great to be down there.
Yeah, had you been to Wilmington before?
Yeah, I had done a movie with my daughter's mom called The Grave with Josh Charles and Eric Roberts. And
aw, Eric Roberts.
Love Eric Roberts.
What a sweetie.
Lowe, she's cool as hell.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I love him. Craig, you beat my husband out for the role of Uncle Keith.
And no way.
Yeah. Yes way. Literally when we met, he was like, I auditioned for that show. And I'm like, what? What are you talking about?
Obviously, they weren't going for looks. So.
Whatever. Are you kidding me?
He's a good looking guy. He's cool.
Everyone wanted to be Uncle Keith because that was like the sexiest part. It was like the cool guy. And you brought so much of your own style to it. One of my favorite stories you've ever, ever, ever told me is about Andy Warhol discovering you.
Oh, my God.
I need you to tell people this story because I just watched the Andy Warhol documentary and I'm like, where's Craig?
Okay, oh was I in it?
I haven't seen the whole thing yet. I only watched the first episode.
So listen, since I told you that, okay, so I'll tell the story very quickly.
Yes, please.
I'm 23 years old. I have just gotten my first role on Broadway. Literally like the day before, 2 days before. So I'm at my last day working at Cafe Sha Sha in the West Village. I was like, I'm done with work. I'm not going to work. I never did work again after that.
Fabulous. But
I'm leaving work. I'm walking down the street. I've got my shirt open, you know, just trucking home and my jeans on. And this limousine kind of slowly pulls by me and the windows crack down. And I'm like, and I see top of a head looking out. And I'm like, oh, that's a little weird. And then I walk down a little further. Now comes back the other way and circles again. And I'm like, somebody's stalking me. Anyway, limousine pulls up and this guy gets out, a younger guy, and he comes up and goes, hi, Andy Warhol's in that limousine. He wants to shoot you. I'm like, Andy, I said, is that the Campbell Soup guy? Like, that was really nice. That's all I knew about him. Like, I was just this shitheel from Pennsylvania that moved up to New York and gradually grew some culture in my, in my soul. But anyway, so I go over to the window and he's like, you know, I'd really like to shoot you. And I was like, okay. He's like, you offer me $300. And so I called my agent. I was like, this guy, Andy Warhol, wants to take your picture. Go do it, man. What are you kidding me? Yeah. And blah, blah, blah. Make sure you get a copy. And I was like, okay. Anyway, I go up to the studio and I have lunch
the factory.
In the factory around this big table with these other people, strange people. They were just strange. Everybody in there, everything about it was strange. and he says, well, you ready to do the picture? I said, yeah. We go in the back and he's like, well, how many clothes can you take off? And I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
And I was like, he's like, well, can you take your shirt off? And I was like, sure. Anyway, so he had this American flag on the back wall and he took, you know, did a photo shoot, did a bunch of pictures of me and that was it. The one thing, he was really nice. He invited me to all the parties that they had, you know, after that, which was kind of cool. You know,
oh,
I
mean, cool.
All these stars would be there. It was like all kinds of big stars like Bowie and got to hang out with people like that. And anyway, so here's the end of it or the. So my daughter's a brother and sister who are my godchildren. The girl like calls my daughter and goes, oh my God, they call me Chango, which is monkey in Spanish.
Aww.
And they're like, Chango, they're like, you just saw Chango, they're selling one of his pictures for like $15,000.
What?
On Christie's website.
What?
I had never seen the pictures.
No.
I never went to see him or anything like that. So yeah. So the picture, it's,
is it online?
Yeah, if you look up Andy Warhol, there's a picture.
Oh my God.
The picture they shot of me, they sold it on Christie's, and I guess it's supposed to come out with some book
that's
called Boys
unreal.
Of Summer.
No way.
Craig, when you told me this story like 15, 20 years ago, you were like, never seen the picture. Can't find it.
Yeah.
I have no idea what it looks like. We have to post this on our social media. I'm beside myself.
I'll send it to you if you want.
I'm looking for it right now.
So
I'm
going to
type
it
in.
Oh my God, Craig, you're fucking gorgeous.
Okay, hold on.
Oh my God. Hold on. I'm putting it in the chat. I'm sending the link right now.
Wait a minute. You see it already?
Yes. I'm staring at you.
Oh my God, Craig!
These are crazy.
Yes, this is why you pull over your limousine. This is 100%. Oh, wow.
100%.
Wait, you know what's crazy also is I never thought you and Paul really looked like brothers, but this photo, the close-up of you with your chin down, you guys have a very similar look too.
Oh, that's interesting.
Oh my God.
Yes, I'm so into
crazy,
it.
Crazy, Craig. Wow.
Craig, I'm proud of you. And I love that. Oh my Christ. There's a bunch. Craig.
What?
You absolute smoke show.
I only ever saw one.
Oh my God. You holding this barbell? Look at your traps. What's going on?
Are you kidding me?
Dude, I only ever saw the hold on.
No,
there.
Craig, you need to hold do on. A Google search on yourself.
I'm pacing.
Figure that out.
We'll show you how. We'll do it for you.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I loved these stories, though, because, Craig, you never told a story about, like, big, huge, famous people in any kind of jaded manner. You were every bit as excited as, like, we were as 21-year-olds. You know, like, you never let the business kind of, I don't know, eat you.
Harden you?
Yeah.
I think that's blue-collar roots. Good family, they wouldn't put up with that, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of in my soul, kind of like them.
That's nice.
Well, part of what made you perfect for Keith.
Well, and perfect for every single woman on our show, because your track record on this show is extraordinary with the Karen of it all, the Deb of it all, the Jules of it all. Your chemistry with all the women is bananas. Is that just a gift?
Yeah, really enjoy it. They're what great group of people. Really, we had so much fun together.
Mm.
Moira felt like, you know, my wife, and Barbara was a lovely little dessert.
What a flirt, that Barbara.
I am really curious, you know, because you guys were such good friends to us as young women on our first show. But, you know, to the point of what we're talking about, some of you had histories together. Some of you were there with your kids. What was that sort of camaraderie among the grownups like for you, with you and Moira, Paul and Barbara? What did that life look like? Because, you know, we know how weird it was for ourselves to have to uproot our lives, you know, leave college, leave jobs, move to North Carolina. What was it like for you with, you know, family?
It was great. I think one of the things, like with Moira, is, you know, you guys have had this last 20 years of, you know, your brand of stardom and the different roads you've traveled. And Moira and I kind of always traveled around each other. We were always kind of both doing all these, you know, big movies and stuff like that. And then both of us were on TV for the first time. And I think also being sequestered in a place like we were, and the outside world, your normal outside world isn't there. You kind of bond because that's where you are and what you have, and you're in a new world. And I think that displacement kind of makes for new friendships.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I want to know about when Keith, spoiler alert, when Keith died. Did you know in advance? Did they come and talk to you ahead of time, or did you just get the script and you were like, oh, I guess this is happening now? Like, what was that like?
It was actually extremely disappointing, because I had just made a movie and financed myself for like $1 million.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and Mark Schwann had told me that, because they had left me go for the last six shows the season before, and I was like, are you gonna cut me? You know, he came to dinner to tell me. He said, no, as long as the show's run, you're gonna be on it. You know, you're the character I based on my brother, so you know, all this stuff. And literally the guy didn't call me until, like, I was talking to Paul, and he's like, dude, I'm leaving in 3 days. I go, what? You know, to go back to the show. And it was the next day, I was out golfing, the phone rings, it's Mark Schwann. He goes, oh, I got some really exciting news for you. It's going to be the best season ever. And then I said, well, yeah, I was wondering when you're going to, like, I didn't even get a call. So I didn't know what was going on. And I had my agent call yesterday. Nobody returned his call. And he goes, yeah, well, there's good news and the bad news. You know, it's a great, tells me about this great thing. And then he goes, and then Paul shoots you. And I go, okay, so I'm dead. Does that mean I don't get paid anymore?
Yeah.
It was like, yeah. And I was like, wow. Dude, Paul told me.
Craig.
Yeah.
All so the rigmarole with
it,
the
it,
like,
yeah, it was like shiny. It was pretty cheap. Not only was it cheesy, but just the way it was handled. And that you don't call me and even talk to me about it.
No, it's not okay.
That's just kind of the worst example of people in power in our industry treating us, the ones who move and change their lives for their shows, like they treat us like we're supply rather than people.
Disposable.
And I'm really sorry.
Yeah,
I'm
you
really
know, at that
sorry
time
that
I was
happened
only working
to you.
Like 3 days a week, and I was like, guys, can you? Because Willow was with me at the first 2 years.
Yeah.
Homeschooled her and all that. And then after that, I was like, can you maybe just give me every other Friday off so I can fly home? And they were just such.
Yeah.
Maybe we have said it on this show. We're like,
ooh, you can say whatever you want.
You can say whatever. Because honestly, we didn't, Craig, we didn't know. It was most of our like first pretty big jobs. And so we didn't know how toxic it was until I went and I worked on White Collar and they were lovely. They're like, oh, you want to see your child? Fantastic. You haven't seen your husband in 3 weeks? Fantastic. We'll figure this out. And I was like, Oh, there's a different way.
Really, it's not that hard. You can make, and we do know that, you know, production schedules can get crazy.
Sure.
But for simple things, it was just like, it was so about like control. As a matter of fact, I had really, I showed up as this character. I had a teeny bit of facial hair. I wore my boots outside my pants like I always did.
I love it.
Talk about your boots all the time.
They threatened to fire me about my boots. I was like, look, I'm just going to leave my boots in my pants. I wear my bandana. I've been doing it for the first 3-4 weeks. Well, we don't want that anymore. We want your hair combed back and we want you shaved and we want this. And literally got to the point where they're calling my agent and going, well, if this is power struggle is going to continue, we're just going to get rid of him.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Psycho.
That kind of stuff where they break down your soul, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's only a power struggle because they're creating totally unreasonable a totally unreasonable bar for anybody to reach.
And something
and non-collaborative
that feels,
control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Non-collaborative control and something that feels important is like to acknowledge, look, you hired each of us because of what we brought to a character.
Right.
So if you take that away.
That's 101.
If you take it away, what are we doing? And there's so little acknowledgement given to the uprooting, the moving, the pulling your daughter out of school, having to put her in a new place, the leaving your entire family behind, the being on this crazy schedule. We love what we do, so we do it. But you literally
kill
are
our
not,
creativity.
Yeah, you're not in Why control are we here? Of anything in your entire life. What time you wake up, what time you go to bed.
Yeah.
Nothing except for your creativity. And for somebody to say, we hired you for your creativity and now we want to step on it, you just go, like, what's happening here?
Why am I here?
Yeah, it was crazy. It was
ridiculous.
That's
wild.
So did you guys have the same control?
Oh,
Craig.
Massively. If we brushed our hair in the wrong direction, we were, like, threatened with being fired. My last season, they called. They were like, your hair's too red. And I was like, I'm gone. I'm a ghost. It doesn't matter anymore.
I love that.
Yeah. No, it was crazy. I remember our Voldemort. I'd gone to do a movie in the summer between seasons 2 and 3. And Hillary knows, we talked all about it because they're our favorite kind of girls. I was playing this like super goth chick in New Orleans. And I cut bangs and I dyed my hair jet black and like the character had tattoos. Super fun. So obviously I dye my hair back to like the Brooke Davis Brown when I come home. And Mark lost his mind on me. My bangs were growing out. It was like a cute little little part moment. We all loved it. Joy, I remember
Super
you being
right.
like, oh my God, you're so cute with bangs. Like we were excited. And you know what he said to me? A grown man who was my boss. I was 22, 23. I can't do math. He goes, who the f*** told you you could cut bangs? You know who had bangs? All the f***ing cheerleaders in high school who never wanted to have sex with me. And I was like... What's happening? What's happening?
Yeah.
Is this what I'm getting yelled at for? Like, Craig, it was so controlling and gross and misogynistic and creepy for us. You know, he'd yell at Hillary and I if we put our hair in ponytails during cheer practice. Yeah. Like,
That was one of the reasons also why they were trying to figure out if they could write me off the show, too.
Yeah.
Because Joy didn't want to do the blocking that every single, you know, if the director showed up and they said, okay, we would sometimes show up to rehearsal and it would be a blocking. It would be a supposed to be a blocking rehearsal, but they would have it already lit and they would already have decided where you're going to walk. And it was just like, we're just going to do a run through and then yep. just say your lines. We're going to roll. Okay. Come to set, camera ready. And I'd show up and I'd be like, I appreciate that everybody's trying to move fast, but I don't want to walk across the room because it doesn't make any sense for my character. Yeah. She has to stay grounded right where she is. If she goes to that part of the room, it implies that she's going further into the house when all she wants to do is run out the door. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't make sense. And then they're like, we're already lit there.
At least give us a chance to discuss it with you.
Yes.
You get to make the final decision and all that, but you're not even regarding our creativity or our artistry.
Wow. Exactly. If you've got a good if you've got a good reason, like, let's talk about it for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's the difference between discussion and order. Like when someone orders you to do something versus says, hey, I have this idea. What's your idea? Let's meet at an idea. It's a control versus a collaboration. And I think as we're having this moment in society where we're talking about the way we treat each other, like, what I love about us and the thing we formulated back then that we've held on to is we really like to collaborate with each other. Mm-hmm. And we don't like it when anybody's getting controlled, whether it's us or anybody out there in the world. And that's the kind of shit stirring I'm here for. So the point is that I love us. And I have to say, Craig, and I think I can speak for all of us, it's kind of mind-blowing to know we thought we got a lot of this because we were young women. We had no idea they were doing this to you too.
No
like
way.
Literally no clue. To us, you know, you came in like royalty on our show and to the network, and people always, I don't know if you know this, but people were like, can you believe we got Craig Sheffer?
It was why I signed on to the show. You and Moira were why I signed on.
They talked about how we got you and Moira so much. So it's like, I'm shocked, but knowing who they were, I'm not surprised they were terrible to you, but I'm shocked they were terrible to you.
Yeah, well, like, you know, I'm kind of shocked they were to you guys too, because I was like, you know, they're young and beautiful. They can't complain about anything with these people. I was like 42 at the time, I guess, 20 years ago.
You were a baby.
You were just a little baby.
I think it's really common really in the industry that the people writing
I didn't
the
know you guys were getting that same pressure. I think it would have been.
Yeah.
I remember. On my first movie, I had a diabolical director and actor. They were playing this method game with me of some sort.
Oh, God.
And I just remember how it just fucked me up for years. I didn't trust anybody. I'd go on set and I was like, I got to protect myself, man. Yeah. Yeah. You know, and then you go on a good set and you still felt that you had to, you know, really feel things out because there's some.
And for people people who are real artists, it's. Trust is everything as an actor.
Yeah.
You've got to be able to be vulnerable. And if you feel like you're getting messed with, it's really hard to do your best work and then to feel good about
it. Absolutely.
Your work. And I think it's a really common thing in the industry, though, that the people writing the checks are under the misconception that actors are just puppets or animation. Like, you can just.
I was going to use those exact terms about 5 minutes ago when you were talking.
Yeah, I have felt like that many times on a set where they just don't quite understand that I actually have put a lot of thought and work into that. Like, there's a reason why I'm not just a face. I actually have done a lot of work. So, you know,
there's a brain in there.
They're hoping to perfect CGI, and they won't need us anymore.
Well, hey, let's see how that goes.
Craig, I think part of the reason we're all so close is because we went through this pretty toxic experience together. Like, when we see each other at conventions, it is a big family reunion. And I want to be very clear, you were a safe place for us well before the Me Too movement happened.
Absolutely.
Like, before we ever vocalized our concerns, you were always a good guy for us. And I appreciate that. I feel badly that this experience didn't honor you as it should, but I want to know, like, what your favorite job of all time was. Like, what's the job that was the most fun experience ever?
Well, I had a lot of jobs that were fun experiences, but, you know, A River Runs Through It is just by far, like, the most, it just has so much heart, soul. I don't know. It's just so deep.
You're so dreamy in that movie.
Oh, Totally. Did There's you? Another guy who some people think is dreamier, but.
Did you keep up fishing at all after that movie, or was it kind of just the thing you did for the film and then you called?
You know
it?
What? I can't even hook a fish and feel good. I grew up in, you know, my family has a hunting cabin, and all that, so I was just like, I so can't go there.
Oh gosh!
I hook a love fish that.
And feel guilty. I lived on a lake though for 25 years, and
I remember that.
I enjoy swimming in lakes and going off rope swings and all that stuff. But, yeah. And I eat fish. I'm not a vegetarian or anything like that, so I should be able to catch them. But
Sophia does that. Sophia goes fishing in Montana now. She'll take
it. I was going to say, Craig, I'll catch your fish for you, and then I'll cook them. I really do think that my sort of, you know, nostalgic love affair with learning to fly fish is because of you.
Yeah, you can fly fish?
Yeah, I mean, not like you guys did in the movie or anything, but I'll send you a picture
did
of
your husband
fish I caught.
Fly fishing?
I started actually going.
Congrats on that, by the way.
Thank you.
I follow you guys and see what's happening.
Oh, you cutie. I started going on fly fishing trips years ago before Grant and I started dating. I don't know. I've always, you know, loved the great outdoors and been like a road tripper and a camper and all those things. And it was a thing I'd always wanted to learn. And I was up, you know, Hillary mentioned in Montana with some friends, and I was like, I'm just going to do this. And I got so hooked, and I've taken like groups of girlfriends to fly fish in Alaska, gone back to Montana, fly fished in New Mexico. I love
some
it.
Of those big Alaskan trout.
I love it.
Look what you started, like Craig.
You
Look
did
what
it.
You started.
Thank you. Thank you for my favorite sexy lady hobby.
It's hard to actually catch them though sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. And there's nothing like when you've had a good day and you're like, I've done it. I've gotten good at this. And then the next day you don't catch anything and you're like, and I'm humbled by nature. Once again, I shall go home empty handed.
Done. How long are you in LA, Craig? Are you there? Are you living in LA now?
I've moved back. Yeah.
Right on. All right. Well, so, next time we cruise through.
I moved back. Like I said, it was the first week of the pandemic and just hung out for a long time. And now I'm, you know, starting to work.
Good. Yeah. You just played Nixon on American Horror Story, which
How
is
was that?
Super cool.
It was just a blast, man. I loved it. Now talk about, again, a creative experience. I mean, they were so supportive, you know, like Ryan Murphy was just very, you know, I would hear like what I was doing. Nobody ever really tried to control anything. And I mean, you know, I got direction and all that, but yeah, it was really, really fun. I loved it. And when they sent it to me, I was like, me, Nixon? I was like, I don't get it. And then I was like, started watching stuff and playing around. I'm like, my ball.
There he is.
And I stuffed my cheeks with cotton like Brando did in The Godfather.
Oh,
and,
my gosh.
Stick my hair way back. It was just fun. I was like playing a character, which is what we all love to do the most, right? Yeah. We all want to turn it into something else. Or
I'm so curious about that. To play someone so famous, where do you start? Like, what's the doorway into as an actor playing a character like Nixon? Where do you begin?
Yeah, I just started with YouTube. You know, I just started watching his speeches and his mannerisms. And, you know, I only had like 3 days to prepare for it. I put myself on tape.
What?
You know,
So
I just immersed myself in YouTube for like 2 or 3 days and started playing with makeup and
wow.
As soon as I did it, I was just like, this is weird. I look like him, you know, and I kind of sound like him.
I
put my own spin on it because it was season. It was double feature last year, and I'm in the second half of the double feature, and it's like it's all shot in black and white. And it's 50s UFO stuff with, you know, Eisenhower and
so
Kennedy
fun.
And all these people. And Nixon's like this Machiavellian guy behind the whole, you know,
fun.
Thing, selling out to the UFOs to be selling out to the aliens to become president.
I
really
just
fun.
Dropped the photo of you as Nixon into our
oh
chat.
Oh my God, this is unbelievable.
Look, you're such a good actor. You're such a good actor.
I
feel incredible.
Really lucky that we had you at the beginning stages of our trajectory, because you have always been a really strong example for us of good behavior on set and creativity and asserting yourself without being combative. You know, like you're a really good leader. And
yeah.
So now when we're in LA, we're going to come bug you. Is that okay?
Oh,
can we come bug you?
Please do.
Can't
please
wait.
Do bug me. I'm so proud of you guys for all the stuff you've been doing.
Thanks,
all the stuff you've been doing.
Oh, thanks, pal.
I'm just happy. And I just can't believe you guys are, I can't believe you're like almost the age I was when I did that
baby,
show.
Tell me about it.
Now I'm like 60. It's crazy, right? I'm like the age Barry was.
No. I mean, I guess so. Barry wasn't old. Everyone thought Barry was old. And I'm like, Barry's not old, you guys. Barry's like young. He was young.
Yeah, I know.
He's just been playing a grumpy old man forever, but he isn't.
That's my vibe.
He's so damn good at it.
I know.
Barry and I spent a lot of, we spent a lot of time together at
Charlie Brown's
there on the street.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. That's right. So fun.
Down our hearts, such good to see you.
Before we leave, what was your favorite place in Wilmington? Because the fans really do like to like do tours of our old haunt. So last question, favorite spot in Wilmington?
Oh, Circa.
Oh yeah, you were a Circa king.
I just loved Circa. I loved the dark wood. It was just like my house. It was like being back at my house, and that food there was incredible. I liked the sofa bar too a lot.
Caprice.
But I'd say those two were my favorite. Pork City Chop House wasn't bad either.
Yeah.
Remember that one down by the beach?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Chiquetti's, is that still there?
There were so many good restaurants. That was one of the great things. What'd you say? Yeah.
Chiquetti's, that Italian restaurant that was over by
Landfall. The Ash guy owned that place.
Yeah.
Oh, I missed that place.
Well, we're going to have to take a trip back, Craig. Are we going to see you in Tree Hill again?
I'm sure there'll be a convention coming up sometime.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to go to Trick.
Oh, okay.
It'll be great.
Come on out.
I can't wait. You better wear those boots and you better keep your pants tucked into them.
Yes,
yay.
I want to see boots and a bandana.
There they are.
There's the bandana.
That's all we want.
It's been great. It's around my neck now ever since the pandemic. I need it. You know, it's not around my head anymore.
Oh, Craig, you are just the best. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today.
Thank you, guys. We love you.
Love you, too. See you later.
Yay. We'll see you soon.
Bye.
Bye, One Tree Hill fans.
Guys, I cannot wait for all of us to be together with Craig wearing jackets that he made for us. It is like...
Yeah, and I'm talking
like
all my pants into boots. No pants outside of
forever.
Boots.
Forever. Never. I gotta get my bandanas out. I'm ready for this reunion.
Yes, sign me up.
Can we have drama queen bandanas?
Yes.
Ooh.
Oh my God, we need them. Drama queen bandanas with little flaming hearts on them. Ladies, let's spin a wheel because we've done a two-parter and last week we didn't get to see what our superlative was.
Those are my
was.
Favorite.
Right.
Ooh.
Oh.
Most likely to become a motivational speaker.
That's what Sophia does. That's literally what Sophia does. That's her other job.
I think so.
Yeah. I mean, that was the easiest one that we've ever had to do.
A kind of Anne Brooke. I mean, I don't know who else besides, I guess Mouth. Mouth is always a good, you know, I mean, he's a jack of all trades.
Andy gives talks. He's like a college professor.
Yeah.
So what is your favorite bit of motivational speaking that you've ever done? Was it the one with Michelle Obama or was it the one with Hillary Clinton? Who has been your favorite speech? Yeah.
Oh, man. I mean, yeah, doing education advocacy work with Mrs. Obama was pretty insane. But I don't know. I think I've taken different things from different moments. I remember, you know, speaking downtown at a big march in LA and just looking out at this sea of like a million people and thinking, wow. If everyone is willing to show up for each other, for their community, for democracy, for ideas, like we have this uncrushable spirit as humans. And it just makes me feel really pumped. Yeah, no, I can't help it. This is definitely me. I'm hearing the words coming out of my mouth and I'm like, what stump speech am I giving? I need to go to bed.
You have come such a long way since DW Not I, baby. We are very proud of you.
DW Not I.
Very proud of you.
So good.
All right, what do we got next week?
Next week, we have episode 17 of season 2, Something I Can Never Have. Oof.
That sounds depressing.
What's something you can never have?
I don't know. Apparently, none of these characters can ever have healthy relationships.
Yeah.
I'm very curious what that pertains to next week.
I can never have expensive sunglasses because I lose them.
Oh.
Yeah. I can never have rugs that don't have like dog pee on them. That's what I'm combating right now. This puppy is killing me. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we love you guys. Thank you so much for joining us once again.
Thanks to Craig Sheffer for being a total smoke show and entertaining us.
Oh,
hells yeah. Hey, thanks for listening.
Don't forget to leave us a review. You can also follow us on Instagram at DramaQueensOTH.
Or email us at DramaQueens@iHeartRadio.com.
See you next time.
We're all about that high school drama girl, all about them high school queens. We'll take you for a ride in our comic girl,
drama girl,
cheering for the right team.
Drama queens, drama queens,
smart girl, rough girl, fashion, but you're tough girl. You could sit with us, girl.
Drama queens, drama queens, drama queens, drama queens, drama queens.